Blog Talk Radio.
I look in the mirror and what do I see? Some kind of slacker looking back at me. Ain't nothing lost, can't be found, and it's never too late to change.
Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yes, dig it, yeah.
Another edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. Now, Dan, before you say anything, I revamped your intro audio. So here we go.
No.
The above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico.
Yo! What's going on, folks? You can follow me at DanLaw83.
My co-host, the master of ceremonies, if you will.
You're dead.
The... what did we say you were now? The slightly above average comedian?
No, not slightly above average. The
nearly adequate.
Yes, slightly, just an adequate enough comedian.
Dan, the man.
I want it but public and let you know I'm going to get you back, and I'm fine.
That's good to know.
I was just going to lead off with saying, yes, what goes around does come around. That was very good.
Well, yeah, that's the new theme music that I'm cooking up. So
I'm going to leave in La Vida Loca. I'm taking it.
You should take it back.
That's mine now.
It's no longer Ricky Martin's. It is Dan Colachico's.
From one gay dude to another.
Well, that's true. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, that's fine. Call me fellas.
Oh, well, Dan, I'll tell you what.
I think I know what you're going to go.
No, but I'll tell you what. Just joining us, apparently.
What I meant.
Let me see. He caught me off guard with this. But here we go.
I wonder if he'll go out with me.
Hey, it's Omega Squad Chris Green. How are you?
I'm doing as well as can be expected.
Now, you suffered a significant injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wait. I didn't know this.
I was playing soccer last night, and I threw my sense of self-preservation out of the window as I was playing goalkeeper and dove on a ball just as a guy was kicking the ball and he kicked me in the ribs. Kicked me in the ribs. I have some fairly bruised ribs, so I'm on some pain medication tonight.
Are you on Perks? Tell me it's Perks.
No, it's Vicodin.
Well, okay.
So,
how many dragons do you see?
Two or three.
Right.
Now, where can the fine people find you and wish you well on your road to recovery?
They can find me at Omega Squad on Twitter.
That's right. And you can also follow the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can also follow the Twitter, HIACTalkRadio. Follow the Facebook, Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. And we're on iTunes and Stitcher. We're also blogtalkradio.com. That's where we are right now, /HellInASL. So, without much further ado, I want to play a message from our sponsor. Well, sponsored in part by Beaverbrook Motors. Beaverbrook Motors is located in Runnymede, New Jersey. They offer fast and reliable towing, as well as emergency road services. In addition, Beaverbrook Motors offers a full-service collision center. Beaverbrook Motors is conveniently located at 1253 North Black Horse Pike in Runnymede, New Jersey, 08078. For more information, call 856-931-8882 or check out beaverbrookmotors.com. Now, that is, of course, Beaverbrook Motors. If I didn't say it enough, I'll say it again. That's right. The Mystery Men love Beaverbrook Motors. And I asked them if they were to commission a song about me to entitle it Beaverbrook Motors.
Okay.
Yes.
As it should be.
As it should be, Beaverbrook Motors.
I got nothing for that one.
Well, I asked them if they were to commission a song in my that was inspired by the Dean of Credibility. I don't want it entitled Credibility.
Isn't it
entitled Beaverbrook Motors.
I got nothing. Forget it.
Very well, then. Tonight, we are going to be joined by Ophidian as he marks his return. Now, if you were keeping in touch with things, if you knew the original lineup for tonight, it was going to be Cheesy and the Crackers, but apparently they broke up. My contact with the band has left the said band.
Are you serious?
And they are no more. After 10 years together, they chose the week to be on.
They're just Cheesy now.
Well, I guess.
Or are they just the Crackers?
Well, I guess they're kind of both, because Cheesy McNasty is the front man, and they're still Crackers. It's just they're one of the Crackers left.
They're rich crackers.
Very well could be.
Maybe they've been downgraded to saltine crackers.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I find it funny that you contacted them and now they broke up. It's all your fault, Dean.
It very well could be. But I will request
some of Chris's Vicodin, please.
on the flip side of things,
it could be an interesting showdown.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to run with it.
A former band that they were together with, the Turnstiles.
The Beatles.
Getting back together, quite possibly. So that's big news right there for South Jersey music lovers. Now, I reached out to Ophidian. He came on. Now, Ophidian, a lot's happened. He lost his since we talked to him last time, of course, Amasis came back from retirement.
Which I didn't expect.
I don't think anybody expected.
That was very surprising.
His first show back was, of course, On Point Wrestling. Good friends of the show. Comes back, wrestles Ophidian in a sarcophagus match. Defeats Ophidian in said sarcophagus match.
Now, before we continue.
Yes.
For those who don't know, and I'm one of them, what is a sarcophagus match?
You've seen The Undertaker wrestle.
Gotcha.
Casket matches, right?
Say no more.
But it's a sarcophagus because
I gotcha. Yeah.
Very well then.
Yes, understood. Okay. I thought so, but I needed to ask the Dean of Credibility to make sure I was right.
Well, there you go. So he defeats Ophidian in a sarcophagus match. And a new reborn Ophidian happens. So we're going to talk to him about all these things that have happened. Last time, of course, we were going into Under the Hood, the pay-per-view from the Trocadero. That was way back in December. So now we're going to talk to him again and catch up on all things Ophidian. Then, Chris, I hope you're ready for it because we're going to talk about UFC on Fox and a little bit of MMA mixed in with that. Tonight on Bellator, I'm not sure if you listened or not or if you were paying attention, but Rampage Jackson has a fight.
Does he now? I didn't hear that.
Guess who it is?
Somebody I never heard of?
No, you've heard of him. Kind of surprising, all things considered.
You do tell, or are we saving it for later?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Tito, tell me right now.
Tito Ortiz.
Oh, Tito Ortiz.
Yes.
Why not?
He's so high.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
two over the hill light heavyweights. Why not?
Over the hill? You're talking about a UFC Hall of Famer.
You get in the Hall of Fame after your career is mostly over.
I don't like the cut of your jib, mister.
You know what? For once, we agree on MMA, and I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Now, we're also going to be talking with Rory Littlemondo tonight. We're going to talk about him being a fan. He used to sit out there. You know why he's called Little Mondo, Dan? He was a big fan. Big fan of Nick Mondo. Sick Nick Mondo.
Okay. So they... Is he Little Mondo because he looks up to him so much?
Very well could be. We're going to find that all out tonight. He became a fan. He started training at the CZW Academy. And he's now looking for respect. Did you know, Dan, at Tournament of Death, and I know you do know because you watched the iPay-per-view, but he was almost set on fire.
Yeah, slightly. That's a come-to-Jesus moment for me. If you're almost set on fire, and I've been close to fire, are you there, God? It's me, little Roy. Please don't light me on fire.
Yes, that's a come-to-Jesus moment, as Dan said. So we're going to talk to him about all that. Like I said, MMA, we got a lot of stuff. Let's kick things off, though. Who is enjoying the road to SummerSlam? Either one of you.
I'm not enjoying it.
I want to hear from Omega Squad. How does he feel?
Omega, I want you to just talk for 5 minutes on a random monologue about WWE and go.
I don't think it works like that.
Shut up.
I think SummerSlam is fine. I mean, I'm happy about Daniel Bryan potentially getting a shot. The rest of it, yeah, it could be. Like CM Punk, Lesnar is good. I didn't see Raw this week, so I'm not sure.
Didn't miss anything.
Didn't miss anything? Good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I would, but I mean it's as good as we generally get with the big four pay-per-views right now.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's going to be a good one. I certainly do.
I think the show will be much better than the lead-ups.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, what matches are announced right now as we speak? It's CM Punk and Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar, Cena, Bryan.
Anything else?
No.
That's all that's announced right now.
Well, I'm sure Caitlyn will beat up AJ again or whatever the hell her name is.
You know what did bug me this week? You had two title matches, non-title matches,
mm-hmm.
and both champions lost. AJ Lee, of course, and Alberto Del Rio. I'm not sure what the point is of being a champion if you lose in non-title matches.
It just makes the title defense that more not believable. I mean, when you're losing up to the big event, and then you're like, no, I got this, I won. Well, wait a minute. I mean, whenever we talk about something like that deep into it, I always feel silly because I remember what I say about it just being a TV show, but it kind of looks stupid.
It does. How are you a great defending champion if you lose nine title matches?
The championship makes me fight harder. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah. So, I mean, even fiction requires some level of believability.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Exactly.
I'm with you. I mean, as long as you lose all your matches, I mean, I just don't like the idea of a champion being an underdog, a complete underdog, unless you're like Rey Mysterio, I'm like 5'3", you know, going up against Lesnar or something like that.
Hey, he's 5'5". Watch it. Don't make fun of him. Don't sell him shorter than he already is. Damn you.
Well, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. Wow, this is going to be fun tonight, kid.
I just enjoy listening to Omega Squad.
It's like he's very
his melodious very tones.
You know who he talks like? And he literally sounds like Peter Gabriel giving an interview. Very soft-spoken. Talks about music like this. And then he goes off and then comes back to the question. Very interesting.
Now, Omega, if I'm not mistaken, you're also on somewhat of a road trip as well.
Yes, I'm on my way to upstate New York for a family reunion.
Which I'll be high for.
Yes, which I'll be high for. Apparently that's the game.
hopefully you're not the one doing the driving.
No.
Chris, I haven't seen you in 10 years. How you doing? I'm in pain and I'm high. And it looks
please like, don't hug me.
Don't hug me and you have 3 heads. Get away.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fine. I think. But no, I'm not driving. That would not be a good idea.
Probably not.
Walking.
Yeah, are you able to walk?
I can make
okay. Just making sure of that.
It's difficult. I can walk.
Okay.
I can walk, but I'm walking like I have like no upper body movement. Like I can't move my upper body. My 92-year-old grandfather used to walk like I'm walking. I noticed that when I walk by a mirror. I'm just like, that's not good.
Oh, my goodness. Omega, I feel for you. Dan, I want to start a new segment with you this week. Uh-oh. It's called What Grinds My Gears by Daniel Kalachika. What grinds your gears, Dan?
You really? Really?
I just want to know.
Do you think you'll be entertained? Okay. Do you really want me to go there?
Well, don't go all the way there. I'm just saying, you know, there has to be something in the world of wrestling that grinds your gears.
Okay. That's what I was asking. In the world of wrestling? I want you to talk about what I was talking about before the show started.
No.
In the world of wrestling, yes. And I'll talk about inside the business part. Shut the hell up. Stop talking. God. Every company is there to make whatever little profit there is. And I'm talking about from EWA to New Moon, to NWA thing, CZW. I didn't mean that as an insult. I just meant whatever NWA, you know, there's a bunch of them, you know.
There are many affiliates, yes.
That's how I meant that.
That's what grinds my gear, is all the affiliates.
No. Grind my gear. Pick a company, damn it. The amount of just conniving and lying and bitching and just kick to the nuts figuratively you give each other just to get a spot a half a step above somebody is ridiculous. Shut up! Stop it! Just whoever's the promoter or the booker, whatever you call them now. Is it a promoter still, technically?
I guess so, yeah.
Whoever the promoter is, let him promote the damn company. Let him book it however he wants. And you stick to your job, and I'll stick to mine. Generally speaking.
So,
I
wasn't sure if you were done. Go.
No, I'm not done. For an example, you know, you want something to succeed. You want it to succeed as much as possible, no matter what level you're, from sweeping the floor to taking out the trash to filming it to doing commentary to being a referee to being a worker. All, throughout the whole level, whatever level you're at, you're going somewhere to make a difference. And I don't see anybody working together. There's a few obvious guys, I won't drop names, who are friends and they do business together. Whatever the case is, whether it's a heel turn, whatever the deal is, they're friends. They work together, and it's good for, whatever's good for the show, they'll do it. But some of these people just that's what grinds my gears. Work together. Nobody works. There's not enough people in the business working together. To summarize that all up, if people work together, was in the same company, shit, make more money. Pardon my French. You would make more money. You'd have more people show up. Doing fast booking and just make it as you go because somebody doesn't agree with it on any other end of it, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, it doesn't look good. And that is from an insider's perspective and an outsider's perspective. It doesn't look good to either observer or worker. Just stop talking shit on each other. Just get over it. Work together or don't work at all. Get out. And that's Grinding My Gears with Dan this week.
I like it. I think this is going to be a new segment, Dan.
I'm going to start seriously writing it, actually.
I love it.
You're serious. I'll actually prepare so I don't stutter like an idiot.
You didn't stutter. Oh. But what I'm going to do right now, Dan, I think we're going to go away. We're going to gear up the mystery.
God, you
need a drink? So do I. So do I, Dan. So we'll be back next. Blood's going to flow, Dan. The mystery right after.
It's going to flow!
that fool. When I get happy, I jump around. When I get sad, I fall down. Germs, we are the mystery men.
The blood will flow for the mystery men here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. And now, Chris, I hope you're ready because it's time for UFC chat.
It's nearly 9,000 packed the Key Arena in Seattle, Washington to watch UFC on Fox. Now, I wasn't there, I don't know, over the weekend. However, it was on Fox and it was the card, and we had, I think it was kind of an even show, shall we say, Omega? But let's start out, Liz Carmouche. And Jessica, you take it away. I know you know the name.
Andrade was the name. I believe that's how they pronounced it.
Fire. Fire. Yeah.
Now, that was a women's bantamweight match. Coach pulled off the victory in the second round with TKO.
Yeah, you know, Carmouche was definitely the stronger fighter, definitely the more experienced fighter. At least as far as UFC cage goes, she went the first round with Rousey, you know, put on a good show against her, just was outclassing on Drod for the full two rounds. You know, it doesn't put her in line for a title shot, not immediately. Obviously, we got Misha Tate coming up. We got Kat Zingano when she comes back from injury, but it firmly establishes her as a top 10 bantamweight. I think she can, you know, give her someone perhaps like Sarah Kaufman for her next fight. Let her face a higher caliber of talent, and we'll see. You know, she's basically mulled out a few rounds, but it was a good fight.
Was a pretty good fight, and then the next one, it was a welterweight match. Ruthless Robbie Lawler continuing back on the UFC trail. Since he became a welterweight, he's been impressive is the best word. He defeated Bobby Volker by KO.
Yes. I mean, Lawler just looked magnificent in that fight. The entire first round, he looked crisp. He looked strong, looked like he was the fighter, and he solidified that in the second round with that head kick KO. It was pretty dramatic. It's up there with the top KOs of the year. He just looks good, and since coming back down, I think he's having a resurgence. Is he ranked top 10 right now? I think he deserves his ranking where he is at the moment. Is he ever going to contend for a title? I don't know. Probably not. But, you know, as a high-level elite gatekeeper-type role, I think he's fine. He's looked really good in his last couple fights.
So you don't think that he can – what's the word I'm looking for? He can springboard this into more success, possibly, you know, get to an eliminator. Mark Hunt made it. Why not Robbie Lawler?
Well, I think he can probably get to an eliminator, but I think when he hits that elite level of competition, he's going to find it a more difficult out. And he's not going to be able to overcome some of the more elite strikers and elite grapplers in the division.
Okay. Well, that answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah, Dean.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Another welterweight match, which was quite a stinker, considering these are two of the elite fighters in the welterweight division. Rory McDonald, GSP's best friend, training buddy, whatever, fought a lot like him, taking on Jake Ellenberger. McDonald wins a unanimous decision.
Well, I mean, he won. I mean, that's about all that can be said for it. I mean,
thank you, Chris.
It was. You're welcome, Dan. To your point, he kind of fought a GSP-like fight. Didn't very cerebral approach. Fought cautiously. Kept Ellenberger at bay with his jab. Really didn't allow Ellenberger to really get anything going. I think Ellenberger was a little tentative, giving McDonald too much respect and not going for broke when he needed to. And the end result was a pretty boring fight from the top two of the top guys in the welterweight division. It just makes it that much more sad that happened, because this was widely touted as potential fight of the night, and it ended up being a very bad fight all around. I don't think anybody scored any points out of that one.
You know what? Dana White did not enjoy this fight, not at all, and even though McDonald won, as you said, he may have lost out in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those fights you don't put on a good performance, then people aren't going to want to pay to see you. You know, it's kind of the John Fitch approach in a different manner. You know, you do what you can do and do it well, and it wins fights. But if it's not exciting, you're not going to gain any fans. You're not going to gain any money. You're not going to get the push you want to get. You're not going to get the top slots on pay-per-views and fight nights. So, I mean, I think it hurt Rory McDonald more than at least equal to Ellenberger in that it didn't really increase his standing anywhere. I mean, it solidifies him as a top three welterweight, but that's about it.
And then, of course, the main event. It was for the flyweight title. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson retains against John Moraga. Submission with an armbar in the fifth round.
Yes, the latest submission in UFC history. Even a minute after Anderson Silva's last-minute defeat of Chael Sonnen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there really was not a doubt about this fight. DJ came in and fought a brilliant fight. Was the faster fighter, made Moraga look like a second-rate fighter. And he's a good fighter, but I believe there was about a dozen takedowns in the fight from a DJ, and he made every one of them. Got him down on the ground and was able to control from top position. And eventually he sank in that submission, but he was patient, took his time, made it look, you know, even though it took 24 or 5 minutes, it looked easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
He improves every fight. He's still young. He looks motivated. He looks like he really wants to establish himself as a dominant champion, someone that deserves a pay-per-view spotlight.
and trying to increase his popularity. And I think he's doing what he needs to do. He needs to have fights like this where he looks fantastic. You know, and he's talked about in some of the discussions after the fight were that DJ Wood might want to move back up to bantamweight and fight there again, where he's had success in the past at that weight class. He was fighting and winning. He fought for the title in that weight class. Lost Dominic Cruz, but he was even in that fight as well. So, you know, until we get some elite level flyweights in here to round out that weight class, I mean, I struggle with who to give him next.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked fantastic. Looked great. Looked like the dominant champion I would expect him to be for the next couple of years.
So you don't see anybody, perhaps from anywhere, coming to take his hands off that title?
Not. I mean, everybody's got a chance, but I mean, if I'm looking at certainly the people who are in the UFC right now, you know, I think you fall down the line here. You're looking at maybe Louis Gatineau is the next title shot, just because Demetrius has pretty much cleared out the people above him, or they have other fights. And I mean, number three is Ian McCall, who hasn't even won a UFC fight, for example, in the UFC rankings. There's just not a lot of people to put up against him. So I mean, I don't see anybody coming in and really challenging, because he looks just so good. He's so fast, so strong, and he's ever improving on a technical basis. He looks that good. I mean, he's a mini Anderson Silva. Maybe. I'm not quite ready to call it that yet, but I think he's in that kind of conversation. He's certainly a top 10 pound fighter in my mind.
I think in the undercard that you think was noteworthy, perhaps the Ed Herman Trevor Smith fight.
Well, the one thing, that was a great fight. A great fight with two guys really, really leaving it all out in the octagon. The judging in this was ridiculous, though. I mean, how does one judge see a 30-27 for Herman and the other guy see a 30-27 for Trevor Smith? I don't understand that at all. But these guys really laid it out in line and really put a lot of really were trying to go after it and land some shots and some takedowns. Just a great fight, and they fully deserve the fight of the night award for that performance. Even in loss, Trevor Smith looking another UFC fight coming out of that. That's another one of those fights where, you know, you lost the fight, but you won more points for your career. So you look better in loss than you would have if you just won dominantly. So that's interestingly. That was an interesting fight. Julie Kenzie coming up short against Jermaine Durandamy was another fight that the judging was kind of suspect, but Julie Kenzie did really just didn't look good in that performance. So Durandamy didn't look like a world beater either, but she did enough to get the win, and I agree with the decision. Melvin Gillard got back on the winning track finally.
Yeah.
KOing Mac Danzig and looking good doing it. Wasn't shy about the takedowns. Didn't look panicked at all. Looked really confident, and he was rewarded with that KO in the second round. And then, you know, but other than that, not much to talk about the Darce choke of Jorge Masvidal versus Mike Chiesa after Masvidal basically lost the first round, came back in round two, just the last second before the round ended, managed to get the submission out of Chiesa. You know, looked good. Good fight. I mean, the preliminary plims were pretty decent. You know, overall, the card, I think, you know, I mentioned this on Twitter the other day. I think if Ellenberger and McDonald hadn't fought, I think it would have been perceived as a much better card.
Yeah, I think that did leave a sour taste in a lot of fans and a lot of observers' eyes.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, coming up August 3rd, that's this Saturday?
Yes, it is.
We have UFC 163, Jose Aldo taking on the Korean Zombie. Now, again, the spin machine is really touting this up, saying that the Korean Zombie has a chance. How do you see it?
I mean, he's got a chance. I mean, you know, we've seen it in recent weeks that everybody's got a chance. You know, Weidman's got a chance. So I hesitate now in the aftermath of that fight to say, no way. But Aldo is the far better fighter in this matchup. Aldo is fast. He's has great striking. Those leg kicks are devastating. You know, Zombies is one to wade in and try to you know, overwhelm an opponent with punches and land a big shot and get the fight ended that way. He's going to be fun to watch for as long as this one lasts, but I just don't think Aldo's skills are going to let him last that long. This is not a fight that lends itself to young strengths, because Aldo is going to want to finish this quickly. He's tired out in championship rounds before, so he's going to want to end this sooner rather than later. I think he's going to do that with a combination of devastating leg kicks and then just out striking, encountering Jung on the way in. Yeah, it's spin machine right now, because I really not buying it that Jung has that much of a chance.
Well, I mean, you look at it, Jose Aldo, of course, on a 15-win streak. He certainly has proven himself to be a great champion. He's undefeated in the UFC.
Yeah. He hasn't lost since 2005 or something like that.
Just looking, yeah, 2005. It was November 26th of 2005 was his last loss. And he was a lightweight, so he typically isn't a lightweight. He's a featherweight. So this should be interesting to see. And on the flip side, the Korean Zombie, he winner of his last three in a row.
Yeah.
Some pretty good competition. I think he submitted Leonard Garcia right out of there, so out of the UFC. So
that was a great submission too.
Oh yeah, that was a dark.
That was a great submission. The twister there.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The Korean Zombie has looked great since he came back, since he entered the UFC, coming off the WEC being folded in. He also hasn't fought in a year. So we talked about this. Do I want to come in to a championship fight with ring rust? No, absolutely not. Not against a guy of the caliber of Jose Aldo. I mean, he's got the benefit of the injury to Anthony Pettis to credit why he's getting this title shot, because he probably have gotten the title shot otherwise. There's other fighters in the flyweight division that probably deserved it ahead of him, but he gets the benefit of situations. I said this 2 months ago, we could be here saying that we were wrong and the Korean Zombie won this fight. I don't think we're going to say that next week.
I am also saying Aldo for the win, but of course, the last UFC pay-per-view, we were both wrong in our predictions. I'm not going to be so confident this time.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've been wrong before.
Yeah, and we both know that, you know.
Well, that's why you watch the fights.
Yeah.
We're
a little cautious this time.
Yeah.
A little cautious. We're giving Korean Zombie his due. Now, Leona Machida in the co-main event taking on Mr. Wonderful, Phil Davis.
Paul Orndorff is wrestling now?
No, it's Phil Davis.
That'd be funny to see, considering last time he was in a ring, he broke his neck.
But Phil Davis, how do you feel about Phil Davis, Omega?
Yeah. We've talked about Phil before. You know, he should be knocking guys out. He should look better than he does. He just never seems to do it. And going up against Leona Machida is not something to take lightly. Someone who is as elusive as Machida is, with that karate background, is going to give Phil Davis all kinds of trouble. Oh, it's going to send him into fits because you're not going to be able to get him down. You're not going to be able to hit him, because he's just that elusive. And he's going to counterpunch you, and he's going to basically pick you apart, and probably it's going to go to decision, because that's
tends to be what happens in these type of fights with Machida. But we've seen Machida does have power and the ability to take a guy out. So it wouldn't surprise me if it went that way. But this is another situation where, I Phil Davis has looked improved in his recent fights. But he's not improved enough for me to pick him against the former light heavyweight champion in Yoel Machida.
I'm going with Machida.
He could surprise us, but I've never been impressed with Davis.
Yeah, me neither.
Impressed with Davis. I think he doesn't have the skills. Kind of relies on his takedown.
Yeah, and I think Machida has been impressive in at least his elusiveness with other fights this year. So that should be interesting to watch. I think Machida all the way. Anything else on the card that you see that you think the only thing I see
is a
flyweight fight, Ian McCall, on the preliminary card, the FX preliminary card. What do you think about McCall being on the preliminary card? We may have lost him.
Well, I mean, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, he hasn't had a win in the UFC yet, so he really needs a win to solidify his ranking at number three. Did I lose you guys?
No, we're here, but maybe you were talking, I'm not sure. But...
What happened?
Oh, okay.
I can imagine Chris sitting there going,
I think... It's not me. I'm swear. I do not need connection problems tonight. I really don't.
You already have brainstem connection problems. Why don't we want internet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think this is a fight that's set up for McCall to get a win. Santos I don't know much about Santos, but my sense is this is a way for McCall to get in the win column and get him back up into the flyweight rankings and really get him back in the conversation and set him up for some better fights.
I really believe, Dean, that Chris is already tomorrow.
It could be. He could be at the international dateline. I'm not sure.
It's funny as hell.
Last thing I'm going to say, after that, we have to wait until the 17th of August for another card, and that's going to be the debut on Fox Sports 1.
Uh-oh.
Hua taking on Chael Sonnen. Just your early thoughts on this one.
We'll wait.
I would take Hua all day. I'm going to take Hu on this one, I think. Sonnen's best days are behind him, and we'll see it's Sonnen does much better as a color commentator now, as opposed to the better fighter, the more skilled fighter, I think, who will pull out the win.
Okay, so that's our early prediction for UFC Fight Night. The debut on Fox Sports 1. I'm looking forward to that. And one other thing I did want to point out, Brian Stann, he recently retired. He will be co-commentating the card with Mike Goldberg on UFC 163. So that's good for Brian Stann, keeping his name out there. Going to be great.
Good for him, I think.
Oh, okay, good for him.
Yeah, Stann's going to...
Yeah. Shut up, Dean.
I'm shutting up.
Wow, this is horrible.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know, but that's our UFC looking back. I'm going to play something by...
I don't even know what's going on anymore.
I'm going to play something by Rekindle.
Oh, thank God.
It's End of Your Story by Rekindle, and we'll be back after this.
Very fitting.
Well, that was Rekindle with End of Your Story. And I'll tell you what, in just a few moments, we're going to go to the archives, as they say.
The Kiak Vault.
And we are going to replay an interview with Mia Yim.
One of my favorites.
I really enjoyed this.
Can I share why?
Go ahead, yeah.
It was on the night of one of our worst interviews.
Was that the night of Breaker?
It was the night of Breaker. And I don't remember. All I know is I was, my fiance was right there with me listening, and she kept looking going, what the hell is going on? I said, personality of a thumbtack, really.
Well, but Mia Yim did not have the personality of a thumbtack.
No, it was a fun interview, and she had a great time, it sounded like.
I think
we had a great time.
I think I'm going to invite her back. It's been about a year. Why not? Let's
and
go.
We know, Alan, last week that somebody was picking her up from the airport.
That's right. Missy Sampson.
Missy Sampson. So we know she's back. I don't know for how long, but I'd really like to get an update on how the trip was and how it went.
But let's go back through the mists of time and relive this interview with Mia Yim. So, Mia, welcome to the show. You're on with Dan and Dean. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. What I wanted to start out with is you, as far as I know, you broke in with CZW. Or at least that was your first big break, at least. So what was the experience as a woman breaking in with that ultra-violent promotion?
Well, originally, I started training back at home in Virginia, and then when I decided to just branch out because I figured I couldn't just stick in one state forever, CZW and Ring of Honor was the two companies that I decided to stick with outside of Virginia. So in CZW, like when I first started training there, it was just me and Kimberly. We were the only two girls in training, so it was nice to have another girl there, but both of us were treated like men, which is fine because even when I first started training in Virginia, I was usually the only girl. So I got used to being treated as a man regardless. I just didn't want to be in a company or in a storyline or whatever, basically just like eye candy or just a manager or just, you know, something that would not showcase what I could really do. So when I first started coming to CZW, when I started training with the guys and everything, I was told, you know, I'll be able to actually wrestle with, I'll be considered, you know, just one of the guys. I'll wrestle anybody from, like, Black G's to Devin Moore. Like, I'll be pitting a match as if I was just another wrestler, which is what I wanted. So it was fun to train there and to debut there and have practically a year and a half history there. So it was really fun. I'm happy I was able to train and grow there.
Were you ever nervous given the CZW reputation? Were you ever nervous or did you have any hesitation at all?
Oh, absolutely. When I first started training, I heard of CZW and I watched some tapes, so I kind of just got the idea of, oh my gosh, they're just a deathmatch company, and they just do a lot of blood and hardcore stuff. But then when I first started training at CCW, DJ Hyde, Black G's, Drew Gulak, they all basically told me, like, that's just, I've never been to a CCW show before, so they were just telling me, you know, that's just maybe one or two matches in a whole show. Like, there's actually real ground wrestling, some high flying. It's a variety, so I believe them. And I knew they wouldn't make me do anything I wasn't comfortable with. So it was the fact that not only did they talk me into, you know, making me comfortable, they definitely just took me under their wing and made sure that I didn't do anything I wasn't, you know, comfortable or able to do. So they knew I was.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I kind of cut you off there. But when you did break in, you were with Adam Cole for quite some time. Now, what was that experience like going out there? Were you going out there and observing what was going on? I mean, was that more of a learning process for you?
Absolutely. Like, I've never before I was with Adam Cole, I've never really been a manager before, so I was really blessed that the company put me with Adam because he gave me a lot of tips and advice and things to do. And it was so easy with him because when we got together, he was the heel. So I basically just played off of him, and we just wanted to make the crowd hate us. And it was really easy with him because I just fed off of him, and he made me feel comfortable, and he made me bring out, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on this show or not.
Go ahead.
But he made me bring out the inner bitch in me, and it was so easy. First of all, being a girl at that company, like, everybody wants to call the girl at CCW a whore or she has herpes chant or something. So once I got that, she has.
All right. I'm going to cut that short because our original guest.
Record sketch.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. You know, he travels through time. It's hard to get a hold of him at times. However, he is
when
on
you're,
the
when
line.
You're back in time and your phone dies, you have no idea when you'll be able to charge the phone again.
That's true, Dan. That's the way I certainly look at it. But we're going to bring him on the line after this.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit death from the original sinner, the snake spirit.
Hello.
Ophidian, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, yes, I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me tonight. Sorry for the delay.
Well, sometimes there's delays. I understand how time travel works. It can be an inexact science.
Yes, especially when you're coming from ancient Egypt. We didn't have the best mathematics, you know, back in our time.
Now, that is true. What I want to start out with, though, is last time we talked, it was right before Under the Hood. Of course, you were wrestling in a 10-man tag match. And, well, Amasis returned. A little bit surprising at the time.
Extremely surprised. I had taken his soul. I had demasked the man. And I thought he was vanquished. Gone for good.
But that was not what happened. I'll tell you.
You know what they say, Dean. You never say never in wrestling.
You never indeed say never. Of course, Amasis returns, and that takes us to the anniversary show for Chikara. Of course, you wrestled in a sarcophagus match against Amasis, and he vanquished you.
Yes. Amasis returned the favor, if you will, and demasked me. He took my soul. He stripped me of the evil that I was possessed with. And underneath of that evil was the older Amasis. Yes. Then he put me in a sarcophagus, and I was able to be reborn.
Now, of course, this takes us to the Wrestling is Cool show. You were reborn. You came out of the sarcophagus, and a new Ophidian was born, as you said, a reborn, all in white. I mean, what was that moment like when you stepped through the curtain and you came to save Amasis, who was getting beat down by Chuck Taylor?
Well, you know, Amasis didn't know what my fate was. You see, Amasis was able to return it under the hood because the deities, our ancient Egyptian gods, allowed him to return under the guise of a magi. They told me he could no longer be a pharaoh. That was taken from him by me. But they could make him a warrior, a magi for the deities. And he returned. They offered me the same deal, if you will. They allowed me to return if I came to serve, if I would serve under the deities. Amasis had no clue this was happening. Amasis didn't know what my fate was, because to him, I was vanquished just like I thought he was when I had taken his soul. Yes, 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 yes. So when I returned, it was gratifying. It was heartwarming, if you will, to me, to know that I could come back stripped of the evil and to save my old partner. Because at the end of the day, you know, Amasis was missed. I lost my partner, you know, due to the car accident that he had been in. I was lost, and I didn't know what to do with myself. So when I saw him again at high noon a year prior to Under the Hood, I freaked out and took his soul, you know, and he rectified that. And I was able to return the favor at Wrestling Is Cool and to save him and to tell him what my fate was. Yes, yes, yes.
So this leads to now the Assyrian portal has been reunited.
Yes, the Osirian portal has been reunited, and on August 25th at Wrestling Is Cool's first pay-per-view out of Deptford, New Jersey, we will have our first match back as a team.
Now, do you know who you're taking on yet, or at this point, you guys are just back together?
Yes, no, I'm actually fully aware of who our opponents are. You see, Wrestling Is Cool is showcasing talent from around the world, not just Philadelphia, not just America. We're talking about the UK as well. So we have a team flying in. If Amasis and I were going to return to the ring, we wanted the best in the world.
I'm sorry, go ahead. We're still here with you. That was something else going on. You know how time travel is.
Absolutely. Where was I? We wanted the best in the world thrown at us. So, Mark Andrews and Dynamite Pete Dunne from the UK, two great warriors from the United Kingdom, are coming to battle us on August 25th.
And that's coming right to Deptford, New Jersey at the Proving Grounds, Building 4W. That's going to be an amazing... what's the word I'm looking for? That's amazing, just the... We're getting international talent that close to Deptford, New Jersey.
An extravaganza, if you will.
Now, tell me a little about Wrestling Is Cool. Now, this is the promotion that you've kind of aligned yourself with, kind of like your home promotion now. What is the story with Wrestling Is Cool?
So, Wrestling Is Cool is a part of a network called Wrestling Is. There are many Wrestling Is shows throughout the United States. Wrestling Is Intense is based out of the Midwest, out of Indiana and Illinois. Wrestling Is Art, Wrestling Is Awesome is based out of the Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut area. Wrestling Is Cool is based out of New Jersey. That is the New Jersey affiliate. So Wrestling Is Cool, again, is part of that company, that network of companies. And I've decided that is where I want to be. There are many great wrestlers that perform, that do battle at Wrestling Is Cool. Your Eddie Kingston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your Estonian Thunder Frogs, Corvus Fear, Marty Jannetty. So many great names are on our roster. And I thought that was the place. That was the place that I would go to showcase what I could do.
Well, besides Wrestling Is Cool, you also are part of this Wrestling Review out in Detroit. This past weekend, what was that show like for you?
Yes, so that is the Squared Circle Review, where I was their champion. Yes, yes, yes. For over a year, almost a year and a half, a year and 6 months, I held on to that Squared Circle Review title. I was undefeated for over 5 years at the Squared Circle Review. Never was I pinned. I was on a hot streak. I could not be defeated. So they held a show called Year of the Snake Part 2. At the previous Year of the Snake, I was injured. I had torn, you know, my MCL, and I couldn't do battle. So they held a number one contenders tournament to do battle against me, where Tadarius Thomas, known as TD, you know, in ROH, he teams with ACH there. Goes under the guise of Clown Brown at the Squared Circle Review. So I did battle with him. He'd earned the shot at my title, and I defended it against him in the main event. And boy, did he take it to me. He's a master of capoeira style. If you're unfamiliar with that, that's a Brazilian style of martial arts. It's very dancy. It's very fluid. And that man can go. That man was an MMA fighter before he got into pro wrestling. And we had a hellacious match.
Wow.
And all I forgot is to defeat me. He came from the rafters, literally held onto the beams that held the building together, and came from the skies with a hellacious DDT to knock me out in order to defeat me and take my title.
Are there any tapes of this? Are there any records that are stored anywhere?
There will be footage put up online of this show. There's a fan cam floating around, footage of the finish to the main event. But it's a show that has burlesque and live music playing while the matches are happening. And also, every once in a while, you get aerial stuff, and you get, you get snake charmers, belly dance, and all kinds of stuff. It's a variety show that happens at Squared Circle Review. That's the strangest thing as well, is when you're wrestling and live music is playing while your match is happening, it kind of it changes the game a bit, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that certainly does. I've never heard of quite... So, a burlesque show as well?
Yes. So, burlesque is kind of mixed throughout the show. So, you'd get some matches, and you'd get a burlesque, you know, performance, then some more matches. But specifically, there's a burlesque dancer by the name of Haley Jane, who has...
I'm familiar with her, yes.
Yeah,
I am familiar with Haley
Jane,
Yes.
At the last Squared Circle Review, she did a snake dance for me. She did a snake-themed burlesque act to summon me to the ring, and has become my valet ever since. So she summons me to the ring with her burlesque, her very sensual and mesmerizing movements. Yes, just like a snake, if you will.
Well, I have to see a tape of that as well. I mean, that sounds pretty spicy.
It is zesty, yes. It's an awesome show. Anybody that happens to be listening that is from the Detroit area, it's a wonderful time. It is such an entertaining show to have such a mix of entertainment, you know, this burlesque and the music and wrestling. It's the world's only rock and wrestling circus. And their next show is November 29th, which is Black Friday.
Oh, wow. So after shopping, go out to the Wrestling Review show.
Yes,
that's what I say.
I will say, it is an adults-only show. They start at the 9, you know, doors open at 9, show starts at 10 p.m. So it's kind of adults-only. It's a late-night show.
That sounds great. That sounds even better. Get those kids out of there. I don't like the kids. Now, you're the first person that I've spoken to that was actually part of Chikara. Now, this one, you don't have to answer, but I'm just curious myself. Do you know the fate of Chikara?
Well, you're familiar with what happened at Never Compromise, the anniversary show. I was put into a sarcophagus live on iPay-Per-View. I kind of missed out on what went down that night. I did get to see it on tape and find out that Condor Security came and wrecked house. They destroyed our show, and they've shut down Chikara. Chikara is currently no more, and I don't know if it ever will be again. You know, as somebody said earlier, never say never in pro wrestling, but Chikara is done.
Well, that sounds but there is a movement, if you will, of I am Chikara. Are you part of that movement, or?
I am not part of that I Am Chikara movement. I have heard rumblings. I have heard rumors that it was happening. And there are some attempting to rally, you know, the troops together. But unfortunately, in my eyes, it's died. And I have to move on. It's time for me to shed my skin, you know, and leave it behind and move on to greener pastures.
No, okay, fair enough. That's the answer to my question. Now, do you have any upcoming dates coming up? Anything relevant in the world of wrestling?
Well, there's a lot coming up. Some of it I can speak on, some of it I can't. But there's one thing specifically. There's a team that made a challenge that has caught my attention. You know, the last time Amasis and I, now that we're back together, you know, we've decided to take care of some unfinished business. And there's a team at a certain company known as the Combat Zone that has been making challenges. And I think it's time for us to step up now that we're back together and answer that challenge and rectify some things, some deeds that we were wronged by, if you will.
Now, is this team that you speak of, could this be the Runaways?
No. The Runaways are no longer together. They've had a, if you will. But there's a team that happens to have a certain man on it known as Black G's. We've got our eyes on that man.
Oh, okay. That's even more intriguing. So the Blackout, then. We're going to be speaking with Robbie Marino in the near future. So I'll pass that along if you catch my drift.
I've got a storied history with Robbie Marino.
Oh, care to go into it?
Yes. Well, you know, when Amasis and I debuted at CZW back in 2010, he was managing the team of the Best Around, and we them in the first round of the tag team tournament, and they were no longer a team. Yes. I've also done battle with Robbie Marino at RCW based out of Baltimore. I actually wrestled Robbie Marino one-on-one. He is a tough competitor. Man, we took it to each other when he defended his RCW Cruiserweight title against me. There's definitely a bit of bad blood between us. Yes.
Yeah, he has been the reigning champion for RCW for quite some time. He carries around those titles on all his bookings, so it's kind of like a big thing for him.
Yes. I'm not the man he defeated for the belt, but he definitely defeated me in a title defense. And there's definitely that whole Blackout crew, all three of them, and some unfinished business there. Last time we stepped foot in the Combat Zone, Black G's demasked me on pay-per-view in front of the world, in front of a sold-out ECW arena. He disrespected me. The ultimate form of disrespect for a luchador is to have our souls taken off of our bodies, to have our masks removed from our faces. And he did that to win, at the time, the tag team titles with his partner, the Cambodian axe murderer. Yes.
You know, I do want to touch on something else here for a second, because I did see Joe Gacy. He did tweet out that he wanted to reform the Runaways, perhaps to get back at you, because there's unfinished business there. Of course, the very famous video clip of you guys hypnotizing the Runaways. So I maybe that could happen in Sideshow Pro.
You know, the Runaways followed us around to multiple promotions to get their revenge on us. We battled all over the East Coast after that hypnosis video happened, because they were pissed. They were angry. They wanted their revenge, but never did they get it. Because Amos and I are hands down the greatest tag team in the world. And I'm not saying that because I'm very high on myself, but we've proven that time and time again, winning championships and defeating teams all over the country, and not just the country, the world, traveling to Europe to do battle in tournaments, traveling to Japan to do battle for the NWA Light Heavyweight International Tag Team titles. Amasis and I have proven we can hang with the best there is. We're not afraid to do it again. Ways want to step up and do battle against us. We can handle that.
I think that's a perfect segue, because you said it earlier, you know, the portal is back together, and hands down one of the best tag teams in the independents. I would even go farther than that, in all of wrestling.
So besides the Wrestling is Cool date, do you have any other dates with Amasis coming up?
Oh, yeah. I went off on a tangent there. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I will be with Wrestling is Fun. Amasis is defending his Bandana Championship the night before Wrestling is Cool on August 24th. That will also be an iPay-per-view as well. And I'll also be at Wrestling is Fun on September 1st. The weekend after that, which is, I believe, maybe the 7th and 8th or 6th and 7th. I don't have my calendar in front of me. That I will be down in North Carolina with PWX and CWF Mid-Atlantic. And then in October, I'm doing a tour of the Midwest, Amasis and I are, with Fighting Spirit Pro, which is based out of California. They're branching out and doing a tour of Indiana, where three nights, the 4th, 5th, and 6th, where I'll be doing battle there alongside Amasis as well.
So you're staking your claim. You're back together. I love it. The Syrian portal is back. Now, where can people keep in touch with you and follow the Syrian portal as they move forward?
Yes, yes, yes. I have a website, OphidianTheCobra.com, where you can follow anything and everything about me. Amasis will slowly be added back into that website. You know, he was kind of gone for a bit. I did beat him up. You know, we weren't friends. So that website was made before, you know, we kind of reformed this team here. But you can find information about myself. You can find something about Amasis. You can find future dates on that site. You can follow me on Twitter at Ophidian Cobra, Facebook at Ophidian Cobra, Instagram, Ophidian Cobra. Amasis is also on Facebook, Magi Amasis. He's on Twitter at Magi Amasis as well. But the best place to follow us at is Ophidian the Cobra.
Okay, and of course you have a lot of dates coming up. You're restaking your claim as one of the most exciting and one of the best tag teams out there. And of course, upcoming August 25th, that's at the Proving Grounds in Deptford, New Jersey. It's going to be an iPay-per-view, and I can't wait for that either. Ophidian, safe travel, sir.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, and you have a, like I said, safe travel, sir.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit death from the original sinner, the snake spirit.
Snake stop.
As Haduna killed my.
I think we have Dan back. Dan, how are you?
Miserable.
Miserable.
When in doubt, use a phone.
That's right. I mean, we have that. We have that method of communication.
Yeah, always forget that this thing is also a phone. Sometimes.
That's true. What did you think of Ophidian's interview there? The Assyrian portals back together, reunited, of course, at our home, Dan, the Proving Grounds in Deptford, New Jersey.
I really think that other teams directly should take notice because it doesn't sound like they're really messing around. They have a lot of history together and apart, and I think they're ready for the next chapter.
Certainly, certainly. That's exciting to hear.
Now,
they are back together, and they laid down a challenge to Blackout, of course, the CZW champions.
Did I hear that there's going to be an iPay-per-view from the Proving Grounds?
Yeah, Wrestling is Cool on August 25th, iPay-per-view.
Huh. It's an interesting development. That's exciting.
I never made the connection. Yeah, but they're going to be there. And, of course, the mascot, Wolfcock, will be in full view of all the viewers. So.
No kidding. Okay. And there's going to have to be a contract signed where they can't cover that.
Oh, no, 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 and no. They
and
can't make that.
The hard camera has to be facing that.
Well, no, the hard cam's usually, you know where we sit, Brady and I? The hard cam's usually there when shows do video production there.
Is that where you and I sat last month?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Right in front of there.
Cute.
Yeah, so at this point, we're just waiting for Rory Mondo. And, you know, if you do want to check it. Well, if you do just want to check out the rest of that Mia Yim interview, you definitely can. Go through the archives, and the episode's entitled Mia Yim.
Not that hard to do. You can't go wrong. We should have named it. I'm sorry.
No, I just believe it's from September of last year. But go ahead, Dave.
I do. I believe so. We should have named it Breakers Awesome.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah, this one will be entitled Traveling Through Time with Ophidian.
And we don't realize this, that without that interview, we would have never had Breakers Epic Christmas.
That's very true, Dan.
You know, you think Breaker liked it when you did that? That wasn't funny. Sorry.
It sounded perfect. It sounded perfect through the phone, by the way.
Hey,
it
stop
really did.
Cursing at me. You curse all the time.
So true. Dan, what I'm going to... Yeah. A lot of memories there. What I'm going to do right now is Keep My Heat On by the Mystery Men just to burn a little time, and we'll probably be back with Rory after that. So Keep My Heat On.
I hope so.
We'll be right back.
right. That was the Mystery Men with Keep My Heat On. And, Dan, you know what? Right now we have Roy Mondo. He's on the line. And I think this is going to be a very interesting interview. The man is looking for respect, Dan.
Well, who's not giving him respect exactly?
He is doing his damnedest to get respect from the CZW roster, and nobody's buying it.
Well, just beat the crap out of him. That'll work.
I mean, it should work in CZW, but we're going
to... I agree.
We're going to find out, though, damn it.
Let's do this, god damn it.
We're going to talk right to the source.
Well, let's go.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm bleeding.
Favorite. He is Rory Mondo, and I'm going to call you Little Mondo because that's where this whole thing starts. How are you doing tonight, sir?
It's good to be on the show, but you can start right there with, you know, just call me Rory because Little Mondo is far from wrestling, far from intact anymore. He's dead.
Okay. Well,
good job, Dean. Piss him off right off the bat. That's good.
That's what I do, Dan. You're of course with Dan and Omega, but Omega probably won't talk too much now.
It's better off that way. Shut up, Chris.
I just wanted to bring up Little Mondo because that's kind of where it started, and I'm not trying to piss you off. I don't want to do that. But you were a fan at ringside watching your favorite, Sick Nick Mondo. Now, is that what started your love for professional wrestling?
Don't worry, D. I'm already pissed off, and you're doing a good job of not pissing me off right now, though. You're okay in my book so far, so you don't have to worry about it. Yes. Little Mondo did originate in the fans, in the crowd. I was a fan at CZW and Combat Zone. That was not my first take of pro wrestling. I did watch it, much like other people on TV, following it through the Attitude Era. That's when I was only about 5 years old, back in the 90s, if you can believe that. I'm still only... 23
Jeez.
Years old.
God, I hate myself every time I see somebody younger than me. Ugh.
So
I hear that often.
Well, that's very interesting, too, because your favorite, of course, was Nick Mondo. Now, you have outlasted his career at this point, and you're still only 23.
I'm only 23. When he officially retired, I think he was 23 also when he retired. So he wrestled from the age of, I think, he started when he was 18 and debuted when he was 19. 99, he's actually 10 years older than me. He was born in 1980. So he started in 99. His Nick Mondo persona was killed in 2003. So that was 4 years term. And currently, I debuted in 2008. And it's 2013, if you don't know. So 5 years, I have outlasted Nick Mondo.
Okay.
Now, was the Little moniker something that you embraced at first, or have you always tried to get away from that?
It's something that everyone knew me as, so I kept it. And, you know, throughout the years, knew me as that. Everyone called me Little Mondo, even when I was training. That's just what everybody knew me as in the back at the school. So I decided, you know, I'm going to run with it, see what's going to happen. Everybody knows me as it. I might as well, you know. Fans from around the world were hitting me up when I started training just because of the name Little Mondo. So,
now, I mean, when you started training, I mean, is it something you fell upon by accident, or did you know I'm going to be a wrestler, period?
Well, Well, when I watched Nick Mondo and saw what he did and saw CZW, you know, much like most of the students and most of the people who have been through CZW who watched it, you know, that was it. I made my decision as a, you know, 14 years old that this is what I wanted to do. This is what I was going to get myself into. So figured go down and try out.
Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry, man.
No, I figured I'll go down, try out, and, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen is I decide it's not for me. And, you know, I was young and like any other crazy kid, I wanted to, you know, get out and do this stuff, and I actually got up and did it, so.
Now, I mean, were you not intimidated by the CZW name and what they stood for?
Not at all. It's definitely what turned me onto wrestling. You know, WWE, I always liked it, and just the violence factor that CZW presented, that always stood out to me. I never knew, you know, exactly how far I'd get into death matches, you know, of what I've done to myself. I never imagined that, but I knew stepping into that name, you know, the Mondo gimmick right there, that I was getting myself into some big shoes to fill. So down the line, it wasn't a surprise that you're stepping into the CZW ring at any time you could be thrown into a death match, whether you're Corey Mondo or not.
Now, I was looking at some of your stats. Some of your trainers include, of course, DJ Hyde from the Academy, but also Antonio Cesaro was one of your trainers. And Mike Quackenbush. So what was that like learning under those guys to get a solid base?
When, you know, it was, it's pretty amazing to have the amount of people I trained with and the amount of learning that I was able to pick up from all the schools. But when I first started, it was in 2004, the CZW and Chikara Wrestle Factory were in the arena at the same time and actually merged for about, you know, I would say went on for a year, where Mike Quackenbush actually was the head trainer and took over after DJ, and Antonio Cesaro and also Chris Hero was the co-head trainer there at the time.
So how long did it take from the time that you started training till you did your first show in 2008?
This is definitely where some of the anger stems from with my character and, you know, just myself personally of how angry I am at it. And with the respect, you know, that's what we're going to talk about and get into the nitty-gritty on the show. You know, I was, unlike other people who had the opportunity to debut, you know, 6 months after they start training. Unfortunately, I was 14 years old. PA state law at that time where CZW was running, you had to be 18. And Remember back in the day, the Briscoe brothers were, you know, currently 17 and underage, and they got in some huge trouble with the State Athletic Commission for wrestling at that age and had to wear the mask for a little while. And after that happened, there was no shot of me debuting. So I had to wait 4 years till I was 18 years old, you know, pretty much to show up, get my ass beat, pay my dues, and finally debut when I was 18 for Combat Zone.
Now, was that first show, was that a student show, or what exactly was that?
I got thrown out to the wolves first show. Summer school, 2008, CZW was the main show. Jeez. And we, you know, when I went out, that was probably the biggest standing ovation I'll ever get. Who knows from the future, but I'll never forget. I walked out, and when my music hit, no one knew at the time that I was going to debut. Everyone knew I was training, you know, and nobody quite had the idea of the exact date when my music hit. I think it was music to, you know, watching somebody that they stood next to walk out in front of them and live his dream. Everyone kind of felt that emotion with me at that moment, and I'll never forget something like that where the whole crowd stood up and applauded. So,
now,
unfortunately, yeah.
That first match, is that something you remember, or is that a blur to you at this point?
Oh, I'll never forget it. Never forget my first match. Wrestled. I actually debuted against Drew Gulak.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that was my debut match, was against him. And, you know, whatever the rumors are with people talking about us, you know, I came up with him and trained with him. And, you know, I don't accept him as part of, you know, my partnership with CZW and training at CZW. I won't accept that to let anybody hold me down and hold me back. Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, I was just reacting. Good, Dean.
So how would you, your first year, I'm just looking at some of the guys that you had to wrestle in your first year. They really did throw you to the wolves, as you were saying. I mean, you had Devin Moore in your first year, Danny Havoc, Necro Butcher. You were in a gauntlet match, Adam Cole. Wow, I mean, to come off of...
I wrestled the LA great Trent Acid. I was in a match with him as well.
Yeah, I mean, what was that like? I mean, just going from a student one day into some of these high-profile matches, really.
I mean, you got to quickly adapt and quickly learn because you're in there with some experienced people. You know, they put me out there with some of the best on the independents. And, I just got to learn to fight real quick. You know, you're always told when you're training, you're going to fight. And when I went out there, Justin, I had to learn real quick how to fight and defend myself in there. Because easily at any time, somebody with that kind of experience against you, like the Necro Butcher, easily take advantage of you at any time and can, beat the shit out of you, especially a man of his stature. But you just got to show your heart and defend yourself. And that's what I learned. You know, I got experience out of there with these being in the ring with these people.
Now, I want to go back, and then I'll bring it back to the question I was asked currently. And I ask this of everybody because I want to get different opinions. Whoever's wrestled in the what they used to call the ECW or the CZW arena, what is that like walking through the curtain that first time, specifically in that building, knowing the history in it?
You know, it's kind of funny when people think that, you know, everyone knows it's the ECW arena. ECW made it famous. But ECW, you know, I was so young that it actually wasn't something I grew up on. You know, I grew up as Combat Zone. That was what right. I knew. That's what, you know, I knew WWE and then the independents. I just knew Combat Zone. So when I went in there, I didn't exactly, you know, understand at first the amount of history that building truly held with all the people that stepped foot in there. I knew, you know, ECW. I knew that this was the, you know, what laid the path for CZW, but at my time, you know, I was just thinking, you know, Sick Dick Mondo was the main event here, you know, Dandy was the main event, Lobo killed themselves in the Cage of Death. That's what I remember from being a kid.
Right, right.
It's holy ground.
Go, man, go. Yo, please. Talk over me. It's much more interesting when you talk.
It's definitely a, you know, holy ground to wrestle there, and you know what's happened to it, it's a shame. And everybody likes it. You know, you always step your game up when you know you're in the ECW arena. That's the Madison Square Garden of the independents right there. You know, in America's stateside, that's where everybody's dream was to wrestle. So to be in that opportunity and at a young age and, you know, debut in that arena, you're going out there and you're getting the adrenaline rush that you don't feel in certain places like the schools and the gymnasiums and, you know, that you don't have that opportunity in other places sometimes. You know, to do that, that's quite an accomplishment and an honor. It's an honor to be out there. So,
is there anywhere right now, and I guess you guys frequent the Flyer Skate Zone the most, but do you think there's ever going to be another building that represents indie wrestling like that one did?
As far as America goes, no. There's no other building. I mean, you know, they tried to turn the Armory, which has, you know, held up to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people there, turn the Armory into something like that, but it'll never have the feel that the arena had to it, that just presence that it had when you stepped in there.
Now, back to your wrestling career specifically, was there anybody, specifically the early days, anybody that you stepped into the ring to, kayfabe or not, that you were nervous or scared to step in the ring with?
Straight up honest, my first year of wrestling, I was, you know, as much heart as I had, you know, I never knew what was going to happen out there. So there's always that nervousness in the back of your head that over the past couple of years, I've been able to completely control and you know, learn to take over. You're out there and totally there's that nervousness when you're out there for the first year or so. And, you know, and you just got to learn to control that and overcome something like that. So, I mean, as far as actual people, I mean, I got lucky when I wrestled Necro Butcher. He wasn't actually full on Necro Butcher when I wrestled him. He was the Hollywood Dylan Summers, all fresh off the wrestler movie. So I kind of got lucky in that state. It wasn't a death match that I was in with him. You know, I was wrestling. Yeah, I got to wrestle, you know, Hulk Hogan version of Necro Butcher, which still by no means was easier or fun to be in there with, but, you know, that was a learning experience, but it could have been much worse than what I got.
Now, I'm looking at your career, and you have become known as a deathmatch wrestler. Now, was that a conscientious decision going into your career, that you wanted to wrestle those matches that you loved when you were a kid, or did you just kind of fall into it?
At first, it wasn't even a thought, really, when I got into wrestling. Everyone was like, don't do death matches. You know, even Nick Mondo himself was against it, you know, telling me, don't, you know, that's awesome, you're going to do the game, but, you know, stay out of death matches. Everyone told me this, and then in my head, it was just, I fought for those first 2 years, and I was just thinking, you know, nothing's working, man. I got to, you know, I'm going to go out there and be Nick Mondo. How can I be Nick Mondo, my hero? You know, I want to be him and not do a death match. And, you know, I took some time off, and I decided to come back. I said, screw it. I'm going to go for Tournament of Death. I'm going to jump right into it. You know, no fear, balls to the walls. Just go out there.
Now, what was your first Tournament of Death match?
The first Tournament of Death match was last year when I wrestled Drake. That was a singles match. That wasn't the first death match I partaked in, but that was the first Tournament of Death. It was Ultraviolent ladders match where the ring, you know, had the ladders, each with specific weapons on each ladder. That was the first tournament. Mm-hmm. And then I partaked this year in my second tournament, which was the Mummy Fighting Barguire, Danny Havoc, which that has yet to be laid to rest. And, you know, the history, you know, real quick to go back on the topic, if you met my first death match, I was actually against the boss himself, DJ Hyde, it wasn't even planned to be a death match. It was just going out there and wrestling. And I kind of pulled out a screwdriver. You know, we got the screwdriver out there in the match, busted DJ open, and one thing led to the other. Next thing I know, I'm being thrown through a sheet of glass off the top rope through the concrete to the floor. And that was my introduction to death matches right there.
I'm like, welcome.
Yes, it was a nice welcome there when going through a sheet of glass.
So that's a prelude to violence. So that's kind of when you redefined your career and you started wrestling pretty much just death matches from that point on.
Yeah, once it was one death match, it kind of just turned into another and then another. And, it, you know, me and Matt Tremont ended up fighting after that match, and they weren't even playing death matches. They just ended up getting thrown into death matches. And then the whole respect issue started breaking out, you know, with Combat Zone. And then I'm in another death match fighting Drake Younger at Cage of Death for, you know, just to prove that I want to be in there. And then another death match, and then another death match. And, well, now I'm doing death matches, which is fine by me, because I really don't even care at this point.
Now, somewhere along that time, you started wrestling for Big Japan Wrestling. You went over there for a tour, it looks like, in October of 2011. First of all, what is, as an American, what's it like going over to Japan for the first time?
It was, to wrestle in Japan is a, you know, if you don't make it in the WWE, the greatest accomplishment you can have is to wrestle in the promised land, the land of the rising sun, Japan. For me, as young as I was, to only be wrestling for 2 years at the time, and it was, you know, the best way I can describe it is picture just being picked up by yourself, dropped off into a foreign land, and just completely learning how to fight for yourself over there.
Jeez.
And that's exactly what happened. I mean, I didn't speak any Japanese. At the time when I first went there, there was no other American on the tour, and I was just going out there off of my own will and own wits to fight for myself out there.
I mean, when you wrestle in Japan, from an outside observer, it looks like nothing, even compared to the death matches, not to be disrespectful, it looks like they are a little bit more hardcore in their violence than anybody over here in the States. Did you find that out to be true, or did you find that it was pretty much the same deal over there, trying to kill each other?
as far as they're more hardcore and the violence, I would disagree. And it was okay. only the fact that I feel like during their matches, there's more simplistic hardcore in death matches. Like there would be the barbed wire and board matches, or you'd be in the light tube matches. You know, they didn't have, they don't have their cage of death moments over there, where they have a cage set up, and you know their big WrestleManias over there. They have their big shows at Corrigan Hall, and their big time death matches. I mean, no doubt they do some crazy shit. There's no doubt, you know, they've done some stuff. But at the same time, you look at it, America's done some stuff, you know, specifically Combat Zone, that they've never done over there, that we've done before them, and vice versa. So, you know, they might have done the razor blades first, but we did, you know, Matt Trima and myself did the soda cans death match first.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's almost like, you know, you're one-upping each other, because especially when you're over there, I'm representing America. I'm representing, I went over there to represent Combat Zone. I'm not going to, you know, show to anybody that we're any less of a hardcore than they are. I mean, you know, you watch our matches, you know, back in the day, you know, John Zadig, Sick Nick Mondo going off a two-story roof, barely, you know, living through the tables and light tubes, you know, hitting each other with weed whackers, just murdering themselves. You know, you watch Tangle Web from a few years ago that we did the Psycho Circus match with Drake Younger, Scotty Vortex, which, not to mention, the entire ring is covered in barbed wire, where one of the sheets of glass ends up severing Scotty Vortex's arm, I mean hand, and completely, you know, nerve damage, almost losing his hand. And, you know, to talk about death matches, I felt like when I was over there that their death matches were, where certain death matches were elevated and certain death matches weren't. You know, it was very similar over here. It wasn't too much of a difference.
Okay.
You know, I feel like,
it's pretty much the same. It's not really any different in a good way, I mean.
Yeah, no, not too much different. You know, there's nothing, you know, to compare to the razor blades. I guess the best thing we had over here that Masada brought out was the guys that played deathmatch. You know, those things are pretty much knives that hold houses together, put on boards, or the fences. You know, you don't understand the pain of that until you touch it or you see it up close, because I'll tell you, it might as well have been 40 knives on a plate. That's what it is.
Jesus. Did you were you able to take anything away from coming back from Japan that you didn't know over in the States?
I came back both times. You know, I was fortunate enough to go over there two times. A totally different person. When I went over there, I wasn't presented as Rory Mondo, CZW superstar. I went over there as Rory Mondo, coming over to train as you know, you're considered a young boy, which is what it's called in Japan if you're not in the business for a certain length of time. You know, so I went over there. I didn't go over there as a superstar like Masada goes over there, where he lived there for X amount of years, 9 years, 10 years, and made his living over there. Or Danny Havoc gets to go over there. He's been wrestling, you know, 8 years. Devin Moore, you know, all them went. They went over there as superstars. I went over there as Rory Mondo, going over there to fight for my life and train and, you know, learn that experience. I came back totally different people each time. You know, you can see it in the matches that I've had. Just the technique that you learn over there, and just the grueling amount of time, which is awesome. You know, over here you might do three shows a month, four shows a month if you're lucky. Over there, I did 30 shows in 1 month, almost 1 to 2 months, 30 shows. So you can imagine, you know, that's almost a show a day.
When you're working that much, do you get time to heal up, or are you constantly? Not that you're not constantly sore now, but. Is the level of pain threshold a little higher over there?
My body's, you know, conditioned. It learns very quickly how to condition itself, which is, you know, the human body's amazing thing that you learn when you're a pro wrestler, of how do you heal and the amount of punishment your body can take. I mean, you would think, like, you watch some of the stuff, a fan that went into a death match for the first time, your body is shredded. It's done. It's the years of punishment of doing the death matches that has conditioned us to being the super-like humans that we are out there. And it's almost true. It's almost true that my body can withstand more than the average human can. It totally can. So, you know, I could be dropped from the top of the rope to the floor numerous times in a match, and you wonder how I can get up. It's because of the conditioning and the damage I've done to it already. So, you know.
Jeez. Unbelievable. I mean, the transition's into my next question, and I'll preface it like this. You're a young guy, 23, you've been getting your ass kicked or kicking ass for that many years, and you can't seem to get respect you deserve. Why do you think that is?
No, it's plain and simple. It came in there, and you look at my record. How do you respect somebody? You know, I don't even know if you know the exact record. In Combat Zone, I have yet to pull off a full successful win in the Combat Zone. I am 5 years debuted in the Combat Zone, and I haven't pulled off a win yet. So when you are like that, how do you get respect from people when you don't win? So what happened was, is I would be out there and I was fighting, and then the whole that I didn't have respect for pro wrestling came about, and the rumors went around, and then Drake Younger heard wind of it, and the rumors were ultimately false, but he took it into his own hands and wanted to make a matter of it, and this is where it stemmed, was the respect. And, you know, it was pretty much prove yourself to be out here or go home and don't come back. And I clearly proved myself in that match with Drake at Cage at 13 that I wanted to be, and this is what I wanted to do, and that there is no respect issue. And then as it continued, and the fans, you know, not getting behind me, you know, I'm going out there killing myself. And point blankly, if they don't want to respect me, then, you know, excuse my French, fuck them, fuck the wrestlers, fuck everybody, no respect for them. And that's where that comes from, you know. You want to treat somebody, you're going to treat somebody like shit, you're going to get treated like shit. And I don't give a fuck about anybody anymore. That's where it comes down to.
I mean, so I'm sorry, Dean. Go. I told you to go, and then I thought.
No. Go ahead. You had something there. I was just.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What I was gonna say. So basically, you have something to prove now. If you don't like it, you're gonna like me.
Yeah. There's nothing to prove about it. I mean, I gotta figure out a way to win a match. That's about it. Other than that, you know, I proved that I can do death matches. I proved that I'll fight anybody. And you know, it's just.
Real quick, luck of the
draw.
I know you haven't won a match, but I mean, and all the guys at CZW, but you specifically talking to you, you've gotten your ass kicked for years. How is that not respectable?
You tell me. I asked the same question myself, and that's where you disagree. As in,
yeah, I disagree with them, for those who don't respect you.
Yes, 100%. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And I mean that. That was hashtag shoot. Go deep.
Now, I'm also earlier this year, you tried to gain the respect by getting back in Tournament of Death. You wrestled Danny Havoc. You're in a mummified barbed wire match. Basically, there's a casket in the ring. The winner had to be placed in the casket. Things didn't go your way, and you were almost set on fire. Now, how do you come back from something like that? I mean, you still haven't had a chance to get Danny Havoc back for this.
Correct. So here's exactly what happened that a lot of people don't know about. Danny Havoc, point blank, is a legit drunk. It is not a gimmick. It is not something that it's just going out there for show that he's drinking. No, he gets drunk and gets wasted and he fights. And, you know, I use the term fight because that's what it is when I'm out there. I feel like I'm in a fight every time. I don't feel like I'm just wrestling anymore in a death match. I feel like I'm fighting for my life. So I'm out there. And like I said in the talk I had, I filmed a little video discussing this. Whereas I understand that you're in Tournament of Death and that, you know, the risk and the rules apply. But when the match is over, and I'm in a box, and the referee's sitting there telling me, as I'm tangled in barbed wire, with the barbed wire on the top of the casket, wrapped around in there, and I could not get out. That is why I was in there for so long. I could not get out. And he's sitting there saying, yo, you're on fire. You're on fire. You need to get out. So in my opinion there, I'm sitting there, and it's a life or death situation. And he is drunk as hell, not caring what's going on, because the match is over. So we had some issues in the past, but I didn't think it was anything this serious. So when you're going to try to light somebody on fire, I mean, there's going to be payback. There's going to be repercussions, you know. There's going to be some vengeance out there, and I'm hungry for this blood. And he's lucky that he's caught up in some other business right now, because once that opportunity opens up, I'm going to strike, and I'm going to strike hard. You know, he's avoiding me in the locker rooms. You know, and this is all legit shit. He's avoiding me around. you know, he knows what he did was wrong, and he doesn't want to come to terms to it, and you're going to pay. You know, you want to talk about no respect, there's going to be respect when I'm in that ring with him, when I finally do get this opportunity, because, you know, I don't know what the hell is going to happen, you know, if I'm going to hold back, or if I'm going to try to kill him or not. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to.
Well, let me see if I'm hearing this right. And granted, I'm going behind the curtain a little bit here, but that wasn't discussed before you guys went out, that moment?
100%, it was not discussed.
Oh.
There was no stipulation of after the guy's in the coffin, whoever wins the match, and not only in the barbed wire, that we're going to leave you trapped in there and see if you can get out in time before you burn to death. That was not part of the contract at all. And it's not part of the deal. And I would never agree to something like that. Why would I sign into there knowing my losing record, that I'm probably have a, you know, a huge upset if I win this match, and then if I lose this match, I'm in this casket, and that's it, behind the curtain. I mean, who would ever agree to get lit on fire? I mean, there's no safe way about it. There's no safety about it. It's the most dangerous thing that can be done, bar none. You get lit on fire, whether it's a little burn, you put your hand over a lighter, or you're trapped in a box. There's no difference. It's severe enough that it should not be allowed in the ring ever.
Fair enough. Now, I'm not sure if you want to answer this question either. We're in overtime, so we're not live right now. So if you don't like this question, I can edit it out. But after that match, something happened backstage. Do you care to go into that or not?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, whatever happened, I mean, I went after the ref because did it look like he was trying to get me out of the box?
No.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I almost thought it was a sick joke of me being in the box, that they're trying to, you know, rib me or something, because, you know, quite often that happens in pro wrestling, that you're going to get ribbed and lit on fire when you're in there, and the, you know, Brett Lauderdale has been known to drink too. So for all I know, that dude's drunk. I get out of that box, you know, the first thing I want is I'm going after somebody. I'm not, you know, I went right in the back. Danny Havoc wasn't around. I see him, you know, I went over and I confronted him, and that's it. I'm going to handle business.
And the way I heard it, you did indeed handle business. So this goes back into the respect issue. Now, somehow, you're on Team Gacy coming up to the next CZW show.
Uh-oh. Exactly,
and
somehow. I have no idea, so...
And that is yourself, Alex Colon, Biff Busick, and Joe Gacy taking on Greg Excellent, Devin Moore, Shane Strickland, and Matt Tremont. What are your thoughts? This was just announced the other day. What are your thoughts about that match? Is this still some disrespect that they threw you in this? Or, I mean, how do you feel about it?
Every show is disrespect. You know what I mean? I'm not getting the due that I deserve or getting the right opportunities. You know, they put me out there in a tournament of death. That's why I feel like it was almost a joke played against me. Excuse me. And now I'm in this eight-man. And, you know, people think, oh, these contracts are signed and they're planned out and everything. No, you know, the way CZW is right now, you know, especially, I guess, against me, is that I'm sitting there just like you are, watching the website, hoping that I'm going to have a fight, hoping that I'm going to have a match, and not knowing exactly what I'm going to be getting myself into. Every show, it's been like that. No show has been different. So, you know, I'm very disrespected on that. You know, I feel like I have gotten my ass kicked, and there should be respect level, and especially it's my home company. And this is some bullshit that they're going to do that. Luckily, myself, aside from Joe Gacy, we've had our issues in the past. But, you know, at the past NBA show, we kind of put them aside. Matt Tremont's on the other side. And even better, Devin Moore's on the other side, who just so happens to be Danny Havoc's best buddy, best friend. And if opportunity strikes right there and it comes out in that ring, I might send Danny Havoc a little message right there. So I'll take advantage of it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and not partake in the ring just because of management issues. But I'll definitely go out there and I'll take advantage of any opportunity I have in that ring. And ultimately go after, you know, my revenge on Danny Havoc. I mean, it's bullshit. You know what I mean? It ain't the first time he's had issues with drugs and drinking and partying. So you can watch any YouTube video of that. just search Danny Havoc drunk intoxicated, and you'll find more than numerous videos of him little past the intoxication level.
Well, all that said, I mean, he is in the main event. I mean, what's stopping you from getting involved in that to make a statement, perhaps to send to Danny, to send to even DJ? And I have another question about DJ after this, but, I mean, why not just get involved there?
The first I went to, I approached right after the incident, was DJ himself, and, you know, I said fair and square, I was like, this is fucking bullshit. He claims he had nothing to do with it, nothing behind it. It's Danny Havoc's antics himself. So I straight up asked him like anybody else would, give me that opportunity to get him in the ring, point blank, let me handle my business. That's that. Otherwise, I'm going to go after him in the locker room. He's avoided me in the locker room. He has been by me. If we cross paths in that locker room, there's not going to be a waiting for the CZW ring, which I'm praying for. I'm just going to murder him in the back, and you won't have to worry about Danny Havoc on the shows anymore. You know, all the fans, sorry if you're upset about that, but that's just the way it is. I mean, it's a life or death situation. I keep putting that out there, but, you know, people don't understand the implications of the seriousness of the situation with CZW. And DJ warned me that if I do jump into these matches, then if I run out there and I want to hear fear and interject, that that's it. I'm not going to be on any shows. There's my CZW deal. So do I just throw it away? Do I throw it away and just, you know, risk going out there for one moment where he could easily hop out the ring, easily be attacked by somebody else that I'm not even trying to go after?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do I take that opportunity to risk, or do I wait it out? Play it smart. Wait a little bit. When everybody thinks that the issue's died down, that's when it's going to come around. You know, when he's least expecting it, that's when this is going to happen. Hey, you know, it's a real-life situation. I mean, you got a problem with somebody. You don't just go after him when everyone's going to know about it and prevent it. You're going to wait. You're going to wait it out, and eventually they're not going to remember it, and then you're going to see that person. You're going to handle business, and there's nothing to do about it. There's nowhere to run. That's it. It's going to, you know, there's going to become a time and place. And when it happens, it happens.
I really don't know how to follow that up.
Pretty much says it right there.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything else you wanted to say? Because the floor is all yours. I mean, this took... You know what? Just from a guy who watches CZW, who is involved in wrestling, commentates here and there, you know, you see some issues, and you see, you know, matches and things play out, and you think it's kayfabe, but I'm getting from you right now that this transcends any type of kayfabe, that you are, as a man, very upset at what took place.
Totally. I mean, you know, and point proven, there are moments when, you know, we go into the ring and we're going to go out there per se kayfabe. You know what I mean? It's no secret anymore. But I'll tell you what, you know, everybody looks at the Drake Younger issue when it first stemmed out with the respect issue. That was all legitimate. There was nothing holding back on that. There wasn't anything where Drake was like, hey, man, you know, let's do this huge storyline. No, that was legit heat. That was legit problems that I had to deal with in real-life situations of pro wrestling, of dealing with that. And that's where, you know, this comes about. That whole issue right there started this respect issue. So I guess, you know, I can say thanks to Drake Younger for putting me in this position of respect. And, you know, after I proved myself, and now I'm out there to just, you know, do my thing and hunt for people. And you're going to be in the ring, you know, everybody knows that I'm a fighter. Everybody knows when I'm at training every day, that I'm going hard 100%. You know, it's the CZW Academy. You know, that's my home. You know, anybody wants to come down can easily handle it right there. I have no problem. You know, there's no rules. You know, people also forget that when you're in a ring, there are rules that you have to abide by. Even in death matches, certain rules apply certain times. But for the most part, when you're in that ring, you know, you can't go out there and stab somebody. That'd be great, wouldn't it? I would handle all my problems that way. I would just go out and shoot Danny Havoc in the beginning of the match and just walk out happy. But yeah, unfortunately, because of rules and the law, you know.
I was more worried about the law than the rule there, right? I'd have such a better day if I could just shoot somebody.
Right? Just go out, you know, your boss gives you trouble, just bam, right there, and just go on, and nobody say anything to you. It'd be a nice day.
That's just what I think of yourself. Pow! Goodbye.
Yeah,
Dan,
right there.
Take it back from your sales discussion. But,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I think this is a situation. I mean, what besides what you just said, what has BJ said about all this? I mean, if he realizes that there's legitimate heat between you two, I mean, how is he handling it? I mean, obviously he could make money off it if he booked it right, but I mean, what's he say to you?
We talked about it, you know, exactly what I said. There's no time and place right now. That's what I've been told about this. And that, you know, if I got an issue, if I know where he lives, I'd be at his house right now, handling it right there. And that'd be plain and simple, you know, that'd be nice and sweet. You know, just knock on his door, he opens his door, punch him in his face, you know, about 1,000 times and go home happy. But, you know, he told to keep my distance. You know, that's the boss, whether I like it or not. If you know, you want to be in combat zone, that's the person you go through. So
yeah.
You have to respect the boss's decision. Otherwise, you know, I can, you know, do I take that chance? Because, you know, he's drunk. And I'm sure deep down inside, this dude probably feels bad about it in a way. And he probably realized, damn, I was drunk as shit. I probably shouldn't have tried to light Rory on fire at that moment. You know, but honestly, he's faced that point, and he tries to come and apologize for it. I don't care. You know what I mean? It'd be wise for him to attempt to. But honestly, right now, there's no cooling down. There's as much fire in that match in my body right now that was going to be in that match. That's going to come out one day. So,
well, my last question is, what do you have to say to everybody, whether it's a fan, whether it's somebody who works on production, whether it's DJ, whether it's Danny, anybody, what do you have to say? Or what do you feel you need to do to get that respect that you so richly deserve?
I mean, you got to figure it out on your own. It's something you got to search deep down inside, and you got to adapt, and you got to change, and you got to mold, and you got to go through your stages of life, and you have to grow up, and you got to, you know, take charge when you need to take charge, and that's what's going to be the moment change. You know, when I go out there and, you know, prove myself, and like I always do, and figure something out, you know, something's got to happen. Something's got to give, right? Otherwise, you know, what am I going to do? Every show, just go out, get my ass beat, lose, go home, another day in the books. You know, something's got to give. Something's got to go down. Something big's got to go down. So if that's that moment with Danny Havoc, and I get my chance with him, and that's that moment that goes down, and shit goes there, and people aren't going to respect me for that, then so be it. That's how it's going to be.
Now, if you haven't completely alienated everybody,
people say, you know, there's no respect issue, but, you know, when I'm there, I keep to myself. I walk in there, I'm there for business. You know, I go in there, I get changed, I keep to myself. I don't bother nobody. Nobody comes after me, and that's how it's been. You know, ever since this whole issue's going down, I go in there, I work out on my own, I stay to myself, and, you know, people won't approach me, they don't have an issue, and, you know, we'll talk, and small talk, and, you know, select people in there, and that's how it's been, and it's whatever, you know?
Where can people follow you, fans, as you search for this respect?
Where can they follow me, or are we talking about Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Twitter, you got, you know, Rory Mondo. You can, you know, make sure you check out this blog. If you're hearing me talk for the first time now, you got a Hell in a Cell Radio, awesome, with Dean Dixon. You can check it out on there. You'll know the true story right there. And then, you know, Rory Mondo, facebook.com/MondoLives. Mondo Lives On, that's my Facebook page right there. So, you know, I'm carrying the torch of Nick Mondo. That's the dream that's been going on. So that's where you can find me.
All right, Rory, I do want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank you for your honesty. I didn't realize that we were going to get as real as we did, but thank you so much for your honesty and the interview.
I appreciate the time. You know, it's important that people don't get out too often, is honesty in this business, and you guys get the opportunity, so I appreciate that. We'll definitely get this blog out there so people know the story and people know the deal when this thing finally pops off, so... I appreciate that, Dean. And any other gentleman's name that was on the interview tonight? What's your name?
Dan.
Dan. Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for taking the time out, Rory. Go kick some ass.
All right, guys.
All right, cool. And you have a good night, sir.
Thanks.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my heart bleeding.
Sometimes you just never know.
No, and that took a pleasant, in my opinion, man, that was entertaining. And I know he was being real, but that was entertaining, and that took a pleasant turn to the right for me. And I think, honestly, he does, I mean, I don't disagree with him with what he says. I disagree with the fact that he doesn't get respect just because he doesn't get the wins. And in my opinion, you know, respect is earned. I've said that before, and I'll say it again. Everybody listening out there, that when you wrestle those type of matches, you got a certain extra level of respect there.
I think so.
I'm just saying. I mean, Trema and, you know, the people out there like the Great One who doesn't like this type of stuff, and that's fine. I got nothing against you, but... You know, calling them hacks, calling them no talents, Ray, is not only disrespectful, you're wrong. And I think Rory has a lot to prove, and I think it will only benefit CZW.
Certainly.
How was that?
No, that was good. What grinds your gears, Dan? That's what I want to know. Just stop. Right. I'm going to play the New Moon Party commercial, and we'll be right back.
Hell yeah.
This is the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, from New Moon Rising Wrestling. Have you ever dreamed of having your birthday party inside a professional wrestling ring? Well,
yes.
Now is your opportunity. You've seen the rest. Now it's time to experience the best. At New Moon Rising Wrestling's birthday bash birthday parties, we don't just offer unique and affordable party options. We create memories that will last a lifetime. We offer three outstanding party packages. All packages include great photo opportunities with the wrestlers and real championship belts, along with fun in a professional wrestling ring. For more information, go to nmrwrestling.com or call 609-820-2793 for the New Moon Rising Wrestling Birthday Bash.
Beaverbrook Motors is located in Runnymede, New Jersey. They offer fast and reliable towing, as well as emergency road services. In addition, Beaverbrook Motors offers a full-service collision center. Beaverbrook Motors is conveniently located at 1253 North Black Horse Pike in Runnymede, New Jersey, 08078. For more information, call 856-931-8882 or check out beaverbrookmotors.com.
Yes, indeed, Beaverbrook Motors. And, of course, the New Moon Rising Wrestling parties. I want to speak briefly about New Moon Rising Wrestling. Dan.
Why?
At Fight, there are some matches that have been announced.
Can I mention that I love that name?
Yes, you can.
I love that name.
Now,
come to the fight. In all seriousness, that was pretty awesome. Go ahead, Dean.
No, I was just saying the big match that I think has been announced is, of course, for the newly won heavyweight title. That is going to be the champion. Matt Saigon taking on his former, I guess at this point, best friend, Keiko of the Flying Hawaiian.
I'm just saying, if I turned around and kicked you in the face, we probably wouldn't be friends anymore.
Well, fair enough.
I, well, you know. I I think I'm kind of worried. I don't doubt Matt's talent. Obviously, he fought his way up. He's the champion. I don't want him to go into this too quick and let Keiko get under his skin and take his momentum from him. I'm sure he knows what he's doing. They've been friends for, 40 years? But they know what they're... He knows what he's doing. I just don't want him to get so much into it that he uses it... Keiko uses it as his advantage against Matt.
Well, mind games are big in wrestling, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
You know what's big in New Moon Rising?
What?
T-Funk Designs.
That's for sure. Now, of course, Dan, that is a rematch from the semifinals, of course, of the title tournament. Another rematch from the quarterfinals this time. It is, I think, everyone's big hero. You know, when I go to sleep at night, I rest my weary head a little easier when I know that Justin America is out there defending Old Glory, and he's going to take on O-Dog. Now, there's still a video that hasn't been seen by people, and I can't wait till it is so I can gloat a little bit. But there you have it, Dan.
Well, what video are we talking about?
It hasn't been released yet.
Oh, I don't know about this yet. Okay. Justin America's full of crap.
Oh, sorry.
He is. I did like how he came out. You know what? There's so many things I'm proud of the last show that I was able to call with one of my best friends, if not actually my best friend at this point. You're welcome. But watching Justin lose within 3 seconds was spectacular.
No, it wasn't. Yes. We didn't even see it, Dan.
Look at this bigot.
Dan,
exactly. That's
be honest. Have some integrity.
That's why it was great.
Have some integrity. We were looking at each other.
We were looking at each other. I don't forget what we were talking. Was it the rain?
No, it wasn't the rain. It didn't start raining.
Or was it the dude in the suit standing in the corner?
It could have been that. That's what grinds my gears. But
it grinds my gears. People that dress in a suit when it's 100 degrees in the arena.
Anyway,
both looked at each other, looked down at a piece of paper, because we were going to talk about... Oh, I remember. We were going to bring something up in the match about O-Dog.
Sienna Duvall was not there.
Sienna Duvall not being there, which I did segue into later on when he came out. That was good. And we looked up. Ding, ding, ding. Wait! What happened?
And
he lost.
A first time ever match as well, Dan.
He lost.
Shut up. He's such a jerk. A first time ever match, Dan, is Crazy Ivan taking on Joe Gacy.
Now, this, you brought, I guess you brought your man in here and you
did
attacked, I don't know, everybody forgot that quickly.
I'm at a loss like you are, but go ahead.
You attacked Tank Tolan from behind with a word I'm not going to use the word I'm thinking, very cowardly. And then you paired him, whatever that match thing you had happen this month, the Masked Maulers.
Come on, the Masked Maulers, now they were tough.
Finally.
I found him from Belarus.
Finally. Right.
Search the globe.
Yeah, right. Is Belarus right next to Westville, or is it right next to Paulsboro? Because that's where all the skinny guys come from. Finally, we're going to see Joe Gacy have an opponent that could stand up to him.
Perhaps on the craziness factor, perhaps on the rage factor. We're going to find out.
And the experience factor? Yeah, finally. I mean, I think he was almost angry at you. I mean, it was almost like it was a joke to you.
It wasn't a joke. I was.
Everybody else was laughing.
Anyway, moving on.
How's your glasses?
They're fine.
Okay, good.
Tag team title bout. Legion of Anarchy taking on the Argyle Express.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who?
I have to assume that Larry Lawson and Damian Adams are involved in some respect here. Perhaps the Argyle Express and other promotions is Beverly Berwick is also.
Oh, are we going to see a return of Mr. Berwick?
I don't know.
Okay.
Out of the loop.
T-Funk Designs, where's my picture? Tell me what's happening.
Exactly. Also, U.S. title belt, Mike Reed taking on Ty Reno.
That is going to be good.
Perhaps.
And I've seen Ty Reno wrestle a lot, namely because you told me to watch him. And that guy, he pulls moves out of nowhere.
Don't forget about the Swan Tie Bomb.
Well, yeah, which is very clever. I like that. I didn't know that's what it was called. Yeah. And I'm not, again, that sounded like I was taking a crap on it. I'm not, but he's not a small guy.
No, not
at all. I think he does in the ring, smaller guys would do. And every time I see him, I'm impressed. So that's going to be a great match.
Greetings from the bottom. And this is actually the first time, I believe, Mr. Reno has had his rematch for the title that some would say was stolen from him. I wouldn't say it, but some would.
I would. Now, what's the deal with the Burgundy Brigade?
I'm not sure they argued last month.
I mean, that seemed... I hope somebody figures out soon that he's no good.
Who, Slim?
Yeah.
He's the manager of champions. He's...
Really, which champion?
The U.S.
Okay, and how did he win that U.S. championship?
Tank Tolan grabbed it from the rafters.
Right. Weren't you saying that months ago?
Has he ever defended it, you know?
No, because somebody hit him from behind.
No, he did defend it against a very formidable opponent in Steve Zaff.
I hate you.
So there you go. Now, Mr. VIP, LJ Cruz, is taking on Xavier Cross, and this is another rematch, Dan.
I am so proud. Xavier Cross is coming back?
Yes, with the financial miracle, Loudy.
Woo-hoo! Number one, I'm so proud of you that you called his name correctly.
I've been working on it.
It's not that hard.
It's the X's, Dan.
It's
like xylophone. I can't say xylophone either.
I wasn't talking about Xavier. I was talking about LJ Cruz.
Oh, go ahead.
That you didn't make fun of him. I was shocked. Much like you are shocked.
No, I'm looking at the tweet.
Yes.
A tweet from the Master Official.
Yeah, a tweet from me.
the hashtag is worth that tweet. Now,
and nobody knows who the Argyle Express is, so that's awesome. Thank you, T-Funk.
Now, anyway, so that's coming up at Fight. That is August 17th. Can't wait.
Hey, you know what? It's the only day... Can I tell you something? And
what?
This is for everybody listening.
What?
The only day better than the 17th is the day before. You know why?
What? Why?
I turned 30.
Are you up here on the 16th?
I'm there all weekend, specifically for that reason.
Can we perhaps hang out, Dan?
Yeah, probably. Sure.
Let's hang out Friday night. I'll take you clubbing. We can do Gungam style or something.
No, that's probably not a good idea.
We can live La Vida Loca. I don't know, Dan. We have to do something.
You know what? And I feel bad saying this because I don't want to rush my own birthday. But September, let's tease this a little bit.
Oh, the first time ever, Dan, that Hell in a Cell Talk Radio will be together. That's
thanks
coming up September 21st.
Thanks for letting me do the segue. I appreciate that.
Dan, I just knew where you were going, and
I know. I'm so excited because you're already pushing it online. We're ready to go. Harry is going to be there, whether I like it or not. Don't. And the drugged up Chris and myself and you, we're going to be in one spot. We're going to film a commercial. I can't wait to get my cucumbers.
You're going to have cucumbers. I'm going to have.
I'm having hot flashes.
You have to use that line. So we're going to film that commercial at an undisclosed hotel.
That Chris will be drugged and dead at.
Probably. I don't know.
I know he'll go back and listen to this. in all seriousness, I hope he feels better soon, because that does not feel good. And the fact that he had to travel feeling that way sucks. That sucks.
He only traveled, you know, like 600, 700 miles. Okay.
With a bruised rib. I've bruised my ribs before. I've bruised my tailbone. I've bruised my ribs, and they both hurt like hell. And you don't realize how much your ribs and your tailbone, respectively, control 90% of your body.
Well,
Walk and breathe, and you move weird, your ribs just take you down, and you're on your knees. You bruise your tailbone. I mean, I can only imagine I didn't break the damn thing, but, I mean, you fart, you cough, a pain goes up your spine, you want to kill yourself. It's terrible.
Man.
So, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dan, because I'll tell you what, next week, Dan, oh, what a tangled web we're going to be talking about.
That was crazy what you just did, Dan.
We're going to be talking about Tangled Web, CZW's annual event at this point. And, of course, we have one of the members that's going to be of the Naptown Dragons.
Hell yeah!
Drew Blood. He's in the main event there for...
time he's on, it'll be an interesting interview either way.
Yeah, yeah. It should be. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm a big fan of Drew Blood backstage as well as on stage. He's a good guy. Are we going to be live tweeting Tangled Web there, sir?
I'm not sure. I haven't decided if I'm going there live. If I'm there in the building, no. If I decide to watch it, yes.
I got news for you. This amateur is looking forward to tweeting this time.
Indeed.
It'll be fun.
Indeed.
And I also would like to thank Seamus for signing a New Moon Rising shirt.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
I wasn't aware of this. Where did this happen?
It is on, I'll send it to you. It's on Facebook. And he almost, the 5 seconds he was talking to those, he almost learned more there than he did before.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, I'm fired this week. We should go now before I get in trouble.
Oh, stop. I'm not worried about that. But so we will have, of course, Drew Blood, and for the first time since his health scare, we're going to have Matt Tremont will be on as well.
Yes, I was wondering when we get him back on.
So Matt Tremont will be on. We're going to talk about all sorts of things with Matt. Of course, he is in charge of On Point. He's probably going to be a little upset because he wanted me to mention Rory and his match at On Point, but I totally forgot, because when it took that turn, Dan, there was no turning back.
I'll tell you what, I don't understand why he agreed to talk to you. I should have set up the interview myself. It probably would have been better off. I mean, not only are you aligning yourself with one of his mortal enemies, but you already screwed up and didn't mention On Point during the live show. You might as well just kill yourself, because he's going to kill you.
Oh, Matt and I are good friends.
I'll tell him that you forgot. Hold on, I'm going to tell him right now.
Go ahead, I forgot. Here, I'll play you some music while you...
No, I'm done already.
While you do that. That's your tweeting music.
You know I'm going to think of that every time I tweet something now.
Now, Dan, of course...
I wager 200, Alex.
So those are the two guests next week. We're also going to be talking about UFC 163.
We hope.
He should be better by then, I hope.
Oh, never mind. I already talked about it. That sucks that he had to travel that far. It really blows.
He was in such a time warp. I'm not sure if it was the drugs. I'm not sure if it was Ophidian's presence.
I bet you that it was no delay, that his brain was working so slow that he was still listening to the question, but we were just sitting there going, hello?
Well, I think that the match will be great.
I can't wait. I think he answered one, because he usually goes on for a little bit. He answered one question once. It was just like, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh, that's good.
So next week, of course, we
get better,
joined
Chris,
Drew Blood of the Naptown Dragons back in CZW, and what a way to go back. Inside the Tangled Web, of course, that's a barbed wire match.
That's a hell of a...
Not for the faint of heart.
That's a hell of a lineup, man.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it for a second, because I had it, then it left, but it's Masada Drew Gulak. I know that much for the title.
I was talking about our guest next week.
Oh, I thought you meant Tangled Web, but we'll talk about Tangled Web all next week.
You want? I was just saying, you want to do it real quick? I bring it up so I know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, I just know Masada will be defending against the number one contender. Of course, that happened last month. Tommy Dreamer, Drew Gulak.
No, I'm sorry. Masada, you're a good guy and you're a good man. You need to fix. I mean, has he gotten the money together?
Not all of it, but there has been significant money given.
You want to talk about respect, and Rory was making a lot of good points. That's respect right there. And that's coming from a guy who's had surgery on both his knees. Respect earned, my friend.
Yeah, definitely. But Tangled Web, just to run it down, the main event, of course, is the Tangled Web match. That's Drew Blood, Scotty Vortex taking on Lucky 13 and Danny Havoc. We know a little bit more about Danny Havoc than...
He's a drunk and an a-hole.
Apparently, and I'm trying to line up an interview with him, so...
I can't wait.
That should be fun.
I'm going to ask if he wants to have a drink.
He does partake in...
Are you okay?
He partakes in the drinking. That's no secret.
Never mind.
AR Fox will defend his title against the former Chiva Kid, Andrew Everett. That's going to be good.
They're not in a movie, is he?
What's going on here? I don't understand. Where'd the girl go? Anyway, New Heights.
Well, you get fine. You'll do.
We'll get her back. It's not a problem. Anyway, New Heights rematch. Four Loko. Of course, that's Azrael and Bandito Jr. taking on Fever Boys. That's a rematch. I don't know how they follow that up.
I was about to say, what the hell are they going to do now?
I don't know.
They're going to ask Rory very respectfully to leave the building, and then they're going to burn it down.
Possibly.
Literally. I mean, what else can they do? I think I went back to watch that match specifically like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, it's a...
That Mexican standoff still, like, I tried to look for, does it look like they're setting it up on purpose? Each time, no way. And I forgot it's coming right at that moment. Bam!
It's easily the match of the year at this point.
Classic.
That I have seen this year. 8-man tag team, we talked about it with Rory. It's going to be Rory, Alex Colon, Biff Busick, and Joe Gacy taking on Greg Excellent, Devin Moore, Shane Strickland, and Matt Tremont. Motley Crue's assembled there. But
slightly. I don't get the teams up at all, but that's going to be entertaining as hell either way.
Well, Alex Colon and Joe Gacy used to be part of a tandem together.
Weren't they the, what was the name? I knew it. I know it.
I know it, too. I've forgotten.
Not the Razor...
No, the Switchblade Conspiracy.
Switchblade Conspiracy.
No, the Switchblade Conspiracy was Moxley, Callahan, and Gacy.
Yes, okay, that's what I was thinking of. No, I'm wrong, right?
Yeah, two of the three have, of course, moved on to greener pastures. Shane Hollister will be taking on Caleb Conley. And that's everything that's been announced so far. What were you saying, Dan?
I was going to say, this got to sound good for the third guy that's been left out.
I got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, you're his manager. It's got everything to do with you.
Well, I guess I am. Who knows? Anyway, moving on. Dan? For Omega Squad, you can find him at Omega Squad, and we hope he's doing much better.
He might enjoy it. He's pretty high right now.
He's probably asleep counting.
He's going to write the next Sergeant Pepper.
That was good.
You can find me at DanLaw83.
I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also... follow the blog at hictalkradio.com.
I love you all.
Listen each week, blogtalkradio.com/ Hell in a Cell. Also, Twitter, hictalkradio. Facebook is facebook.com/hictalkradio. And we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Dan, I can't wait till next week.
It's one of the few things I look forward to. I have no other motivation to do anything else right now. That's a shoot, but I am damn sure motivated to get this show going, man. it's so much fun, and the interviewers are good, and Chris is high.
All right, and we'll talk to you next week.
No, this isn't going to have a happy end. People don't want a champion. They want to eat cheeseburgers, play the lotto, and watch television.
Hey, how did you get like this? I want to know.
There wasn't one thing, I can tell you that.
Go on.
I just don't think I can continue to live in a place that embraces and nurtures apathy as if it was a virtue.
You know different. You know better.
I didn't say I was different or better. I'm not. Hell, I sympathize. I sympathize completely. Apathy is a solution. I mean, it's easier to lose yourself in drugs than it is to cope with life.
Yeah.
It's easier to steal what you want than it is to earn it.
Yeah.
It's easier to beat a child than it is to raise it. Hell, love costs. It takes effort and work.
We are talking about people who are mentally ill. We are talking about people fucking crazy.
No,
today.
We're talking about everyday life here. You can't afford to be this naive.